Good morning, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ. He is risen. Man, you said that. You didn't even say it like Lutherans this year. I love that. That is amazing. Anyway, guys, listen, this is the most amazing morning of the year when we are greeted with the news that Christ has risen from the dead. Those of you who are here for the Tenebrae service, you saw the first half of this whole celebration where we remembered Jesus' passion, his death, his crucifixion, and the unbelievable heaviness and sadness that with which we entered this weekend. And now today we celebrate his glorious resurrection, his triumph over sin and death. And so as we are gathered in his name and in this place, let us begin our celebration this morning, remembering that we are his children, members of his family, brought in through adoption, through the gift of baptism. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Let's pray, my friends. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you this morning. We thank you. We thank you so much, Lord, that you have given us this day, another day to live to your glory, Lord, to celebrate in your name, Lord, in your accomplishments, in your victory over sin, death, and the devil. Lord, I pray that you would help us to live in this new life that you have given us through your resurrection, that we may anticipate the day that we live in your presence forever. Lord, inhabit our praises this morning. Send your Spirit to work in our hearts and our minds so that we may better remember and understand and meditate upon the wonders of your salvation. Thank you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. My friends, let's begin our worship this morning with the first song, You Keep Hope Alive.
Days may be darkest, but your light is greater. You light our way, God, you light our way. When evil is rising, you're rising higher with power to save, with power to save. You keep hope alive. You keep hope alive. From the beginning to end, your word never fails. You keep hope alive, because you are alive. Jesus, you are alive.
Death had a stronghold, but your life was stronger. Rose from the grave, rose up from the grave.
You
keep hope alive from the beginning to end. Your word never fails. You keep hope alive because you are alive. Jesus, you are alive.
Our hope in God is all based upon his promises. And the confidence that we have that what he has promised will come to pass, just as everything that he has promised in the past has come to pass, including his resurrection. And so as we are certain in our hope in our God's promises, let us confess our sins to God our Father. I, a poor sinner, plead guilty before you of all sins. I have lived as if you did not matter, and as if I mattered most. Your name I have not honored as I should. My worship and prayers have faltered. I have not let your love have its way with me, and so my love for others has failed. There are those whom I have hurt, and those whom I have failed to help. My thoughts and desires have been soiled with sin. I am sorry for all of this, and I ask for grace. I want to do better. In the stead and by the command of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us return praise to the Lord who has so graciously forgiven us.
Sorrow and sorrow. morning. My name is Darwin Krause. I'm the elder for this morning. I have the privilege of reading the scriptures to you. And we're going to see in this scripture how women were very beginning of God's work here on earth. And so it's important to realize that all of us are important to God. And as these women purchased the ointment that for Jesus to anoint Jesus' body, they were wondering who's going to roll the stone away. I mean, these only three small ladies, and that big stone was there. Who's going to roll it away? And while they were discussing this and wondering, they found out it was already rolled away. And that's the same with us. When we have sin in our hearts, God will roll that sin away and make us perfect for us to enter into his eternal kingdom. Now let me begin reading from Mark 16, verses 1 through 8. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. And they entered the tomb. They saw a young man dressed in white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. This is the reading for this morning.
All right, it is now time for the children's message, and so Mr. Denning has the message for this morning.
Be very, very quiet. I'm hunting Easter eggs. Anybody seen any Easter eggs here? No? No? Well, don't tell Miss Lauren, I found six of them already, so shh. Be very, very quiet. All right. I don't see any Easter eggs up here. But you know, the fun part about having Easter egg hunts is to see, you know, what's in the eggs when you're done. Whether you're going to have jelly beans or chocolate or some special prize or something. So let's see what we have in these eggs here today. So we'll start with the green egg. And it's a palm branch. What does a palm branch remind you of? Well, of course, Palm Sunday. This Holy Week started on Palm Sunday a week ago. So Palm Sunday, okay? And now let's go with the blue egg. The blue egg is a coin, a silver coin. Ooh, this makes me sad. Get it? Blue egg, sad, blue, sad. Oh, come on. That's awesome. The coins that betrayed Jesus. That's sad. That's sad. All right, next is purple egg. Purple egg is a piece of bread. Bread reminds me of the bread and wine of Holy Communion, Lord's Supper, Maundy, Thursday. Okay, cool. Red egg. Red egg is a cross. Ooh, Good Friday, where Jesus died for us, even today in 2021. The orange egg. A rock. A rock represents what? The rock in front of the tomb that the women were afraid of, but didn't have to be afraid of it. That, because the rock was already rolled away. And finally, the yellow egg. Uh-oh. There's nothing in it. It's empty. Why would Miss Lauren put nothing in an egg? That doesn't make any sense. Oh, I know. Empty egg represents what? The empty tomb. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. The empty tomb is empty, will always be empty, because Jesus is alive. So would you join your hearts with mine, please, in prayer? Repeat after me on this echo prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus. Jesus is alive. And we thank you for this gift. But with us today, as we celebrate his love, his joy, and his peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. He is risen. And Jesus is alive.
All right. Thank you, Merv. All right. Let me take this off without taking off my microphone, and we'll be ready. Okay. Let us see. We are now picking up with the sermon reading for today. We've been reading out of the Old Testament lately, which is kind of an interesting thing to do on Easter, right? Because, you know, the Old Testament by definition came before Easter. But there's an awful lot in the Old Testament about Easter informing us about what's happening on Easter, which is why we're going to be looking at it this morning. So the Old Testament lesson for today is Isaiah 25, verses 6 through 9. On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all people, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats and the finest of wines. On this mountain, he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove his people's disgrace from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. In that day, they will say, "Surely this is our God. We trusted in him, and he saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation." All right, folks, I love Easter. I love everything about Easter. But let me tell you what, Easter's a lot of work. All right? I mean, there's just a lot of work going into Easter, and I know that it's got to be that way for you folks too, but I'm a pastor, all right? And so, I mean, Lent and planning for Holy Week and then all the services in Holy Week, and now it's Easter morning, and so we have all the services this morning. How do you get through all that? Well, I'll give you a secret. It's all about the feast, all right? Because after church is over, and after my nap, which will follow the service, we are having a feast. And it's a feast that we've really been anticipating and looking forward to, because last year we didn't really get the feast. You know, I mean, it was kind of, we were cheated on the feast. And so, and the thing is I'm not the only pastor in the family. My dad's a pastor. My brother-in-law's a pastor. And then my two of my brothers and sisters are actively teaching in schools right now. And so they've got all their stuff going on. All of us are working really hard heading into Easter with the feast in mind. And it is such a great thing because we're almost there. And we're hosting Easter this year, so I got to see the feast. And it's all coming together. And it makes me anticipate it so much. I am so looking forward to the feast. It is going to be fabulous, right? But the question is that what Easter really is about? I mean, kids, or I guess the kids all left. Oh, well, there you go. See, I was so impressed because Gavin was sitting in the front row, and when Mr. Denning opened the empty egg and he was like showing everybody and stuff, Gavin knew he had the answer. It's like Christian parents and school and the Lutheran school, he was ready. He's like, "I know why it's empty." He was so excited. And the thing is that, I mean, if I asked the kids, if I asked Gavin, you know, what is Easter really about? I mean, I know what he would be saying. He'd be saying that Jesus rose from the dead. And all these people, you know, he appeared to them and he showed them that he was alive and he talked to them and he ate food and he did all these things because he was alive. And people were so confused at first, but then they finally understood that he is alive and that he is always going to be alive. And that is unbelievably awesome. And is that what Easter is all about? Or is that just what happened on Easter? I mean, because here's the thing, there is a difference, right? I mean, what happened on Easter is that Jesus rose from the dead, that he overcame death and the devil, that he is, that he showed that he is absolutely in charge, that death is beaten, that it can't hold on to him, and if it can't hold on to him, it can't hold on to us, and that we are, wait, there's exactly it, and why? Because here's the thing, to understand Easter, we got to go back. We got to go back all the way to Eden and understand exactly what it is God has been working on all this time. Now, Easter fits into that. And here's what God has been working on all this time, is that he's been working on this problem that began with Adam and Eve in the garden eating a piece of fruit, right? Fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, where mankind turned their back on God and decided that they could do better on their own. And they fell into sin and corrupted themselves and corrupted this world. And we are still dealing with all the problems of sin in the world today. I mean, all of us have the pain. We all bear the scars. We all have the terrible memories and traumas of the past. We all know what this is about, that sin has really corrupted this place. And all of us are really hurting from it. And then God, because he loved us so much, couldn't stand the idea of us not being able to be in fellowship with him, not being able to have this relationship with him. He created us so that we could be together, and he wants to be with you forever in a perfect relationship. And so to work toward that, God did a whole bunch of things. I mean, everything from saving Noah and his family, choosing Abraham, blessing Jacob and Isaac and Jacob, and you know, helping Joseph to interpret dreams and giving him wisdom, and then choosing Moses to lead his people and Joshua to lead his people in the conquest of the land, and then choosing judges to lead his holy people, and then later on kings and prophets who would explain what it is God was doing and what his message was, and the kings to lead the people. And God was busy. And it was all leading up to what? I mean, all the work that God was doing, all the people he was enlisting, all the things that he was accomplishing, leading up to what? And the thing is, the temptation is today that we say that it was leading all up to this day when Jesus arose from the dead and showed his victory over sin and the devil. And is it all about this day? Yes and no, right? It's a good theological answer, right? I mean, if we're too clear, we don't have a job anymore. It's not great, you know. No, no, that's not it. The thing is that it's like, it's all about this. Did Jesus win victory over death and the devil on that first Easter? Absolutely. Did he show that the death could no longer hold on to him? But is sin gone? Yeah, and so here's what we deal with, is we're in this world now where we know, because God's promised it, and like we said earlier, you know, when we sang about the hope that we have in God, we're talking about our confidence in his promise, the confidence in his word, and he says, you are my beloved child, I have taken your sin away from you, you are holy. And are we holy because he said we're holy? Yes, we are holy. We are blameless. Our sin has been taken away as far as the east is from the west. It is gone. And is this fabulous news? But do we still feel sin? Do we still deal with all the problems? And so, is it done? Well, what are we looking forward to, folks? We're looking forward to the feast. Folks, we got a lot of work left to do in this world. Jesus on the cross dealt with the problem of sin. He paid for sin. He saved all mankind on the cross. He did that. But now we're into the place where God calls us to be at work saving each individual human. where it's our job to go out and to share this incredible message of salvation, to tell people what Jesus did so that they have an opportunity to believe it as well. So that the Spirit has the opportunity to work in their hearts and to change them, to do that amazing miracle of conversion where he takes somebody who doesn't believe and turns them into somebody who does believe. And through that faith that the Holy Spirit brings, they are given this new life that Jesus revealed to us on Easter. This new life that we get to live out for his glory on this earth. And is it going to be easy to do this new life? Not always. Is it joyful? Absolutely. Is it easy? No way. So how do we keep going? How do we stay motivated? How do we stay positive even when everything is working against us? We look forward to the feast. Because we're told in this text today what this was all about. What this was all about is Jesus was coming. He was coming into this world to redeem the lost, which is all of us, to make it possible so that we would be able to spend eternity with him. And in heaven, it's described in a bunch of different ways, but one of the ways it is described in heaven is it is a heavenly banquet, a place where we get to eat. I'm looking forward to heaven. I mean, my wife can cook, but I've got a feeling things are going to get even better. You know? I mean, God, Jesus describes it. He goes, what is it? Here we go. He will prepare a feast of rich food for all people, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats and the finest of wine. Meat and wine. Does it get any better than that, guys? I mean, this is going to be good. All right? And the thing is that it's not just the food that we're going to eat, but it's the company we're going to keep. The reason I'm looking so forward to this evening when we're going to be able to gather together with my family is because we're coming from all the different areas, the places that my family has spread around to. And we're going to finally be able to be together again. And it's going to be after the work is done. It's going to be after everything is done. And we are going to be together and at rest. And we're going to be able to enjoy each other. Like we haven't been able to do since probably what, Christmas? And does that give you an idea of what heaven's going to be like, at least in part? Where when we've been separated from so many people, by time, by distance, by death, we've been separated from God by sin, reunited with him by faith, but on that day, we're going to be with him face to face. The sin is finally going to be completely wiped away. Who we are is going to be fixed. And we will be in his presence, in the presence of Almighty, holy, amazing, gracious, loving God, as his perfect, loving, responsive child. That's the image that keeps us going. That's the truth that motivates us to continue to work for him in this world, to do the things he wants us to do, to bring him glory, and to speak his truth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you have shown us your great love by not just coming into this world, Lord, but by sacrificing yourself and now rising again to show us that death doesn't have the victory. You are victorious. Lord, we glory in your victory. We thank you that you have done so much for us. And we anticipate the day, that amazing day, when we will live in your presence forever. Help us, Lord, to keep this in our forefront in our minds so that we will not lose heart in this world. Thank you, Lord, for all of this. In your name we pray. Amen. My friends, it is now time for us to continue our service, and we're going to continue by remembering how Jesus overcame death.
rejoiced as though heaven had lost. But when Jesus arose with our freedom in hand, that's when death was arrested and my life began. Oh, your grace so free washes over me. You have made me new. Now life begins with you. It's your endless love pouring down on us. You have made us new. Now life begins with you. Oh, we're free, free, forever we're free. Come join the song of all the redeemed.
My friends, let us now confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Please stand as we confess. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. My friends, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again that you have given us this day. Lord, not just this set of 24 hours, Lord, but this day, this holy day of Easter, where we are able to remember the sacrifice, Lord, that you have made, the work that you did to prepare for this event, the suffering and death, Lord, that you suffered for us, so that we would not need to pay the price of our sin. And the incredible victory, Lord, that this resurrection gives us, Lord, with the new life that we have in Christ. Lord, I pray that you would help us to live this life out in a way, Lord, that will show your love, that will reflect your love into the world, to the people around us, that we would be your ambassadors, that we would be your people doing your work in your world, all in the anticipation of the day when we will be with you forever in paradise. Lord, we thank you for all of this. Lord, I pray that you would be with us all as we live out our lives, Lord, as we spend together time together, Lord, as family. Lord, I pray that you would bless this time that we are together, that you would help us, Lord, to grow in relationships, that we would treat each other with grace and mercy, Lord, that we would be encouraging and uplifting. Lord, I pray that you would just be blessed, Lord, and be glorified. Through our time that we, through our day today. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with all those who are doing ministry in your name, Lord, through our church, Lord, and throughout the world. Continue to encourage them through the power of your resurrection and the anticipation of the eternity, Lord, that we will spend with you. Lord, I thank you for continuing to provide for our church, continuing to just miraculously, Lord, make things happen. Lord, we pray that you would continue to do so, Lord, and help us in the light of your provision continue to have faith in you. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with those who are working in our community and the people with whom we are working, that you would send your Spirit to work in their hearts, Lord, that they would not just be better off financially or, you know, that their house would be in better condition, Lord, but that they would grow in their relationship with you, that their faith would be nourished, that they would become, that they would be able to, Lord, to be able to find peace in knowing you and your promises. All these things, Lord, we bring before you today, and we pray the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. My friends, as we have spent time in our Father's presence, when you spend time with God, you shouldn't go away the same way you came in. God changes us. He changes us inside. He changes us with our understanding of the world. He changes us because he takes away our sin and our guilt. And so as we go our way today, go with his blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Please be seated as we sing the final song.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Keep the peace and mind of God, and we shall bring his own.
That song deserves a little bit more of an introduction, doesn't it? The Hallelujah Chorus from Handel's Messiah has been a part of St. Mark's Easter service for years now. And last year, we weren't really able to do it justice. And so this year, they, because of COVID, the worship team got together and they did this. And this was a lot of work and amazing. And I just want to thank all our Jason and Leslie for the technical side of this thing, and Laura for organizing it, and all the people who contributed to singing in it to make this possible for us this morning. And I just want to thank everybody else who had a part in this service. I mean, everybody from the people who organized the buying of the flowers, the people who set all the flowers up, the people who bought the flowers, the people who decorated the worship service. And I mean, there's so many people who put this kind of a, you know, are involved in putting this sort of a service together. And I just want to thank you all for making this possible. And with that, I just want to wish you all a very, very happy Christmas, because He is risen. Did I say Christmas? Yeah. I'd like to say that was the first time I've done that today, but it's not. Yeah, whatever. You know me by now, right? Anyway, He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. God's blessings this Easter.